my good friend Kyle. It's great to be with you in the 3D, and welcome to my home and my YouTube channel.
It's both are beautiful.
You're in two places at once.
Yeah. I looked at the home and I'm like, this is gorgeous. And then I looked at the YouTube channel and thought, did you remodel? Because it looks also as good.
You've done some upgrades.
Yeah.
In fact.
Well, I'm so happy to be with you. I'm so grateful to be your friend. And I'm so happy to, because we spoke the other day and it turned into like a 6 hour, like we were talking all night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so exciting and expansive, and I know that I'm talking to someone awesome when I leave it more energized. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt freer and more excited and felt really seen, and also saw you in your heart and just felt this ascension just had to happen in our dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So having this conversation is really exciting too. You know, I think very often many of us know what it's like to have a conversation with someone that might not be into this stuff, and it can feel like it has a heaviness, or you can feel alone in this. I feel like as I go up in my own inner work and meditate a lot and go in and listen to silence, you can often feel alone because not everyone wants to do that kind of inner work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's so exciting to me to have a connection with you, because I notice we're doing that same inner work, you know, and there seems to be the same truths come out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a revelation one says and the other one goes, I already was thinking that or saying that too, mm-hmm. you know? So
it's kind of like two travelers who've traversed the same journey or the same path who get to discuss, you know, how did you handle that milestone or that obstacle on the path? And we learn from each other because we're both doing the same work at the end of the day. And what I enjoyed our conversation the other night that you mentioned, because again, we went, 5 or 6 hours in your guys' little Airbnb in Austin, and I'm still recovering from my sleep loss from that, actually, but it was totally worth it. Because one of these things we talked about that really lit me up, that is a topic that is really a hot topic for me lately in general, is this whole idea of effort.
Yes.
And, you know, doing versus being. And so I don't know if you remember exactly what we were kind of jamming on at your Airbnb the other night, but I wanted to pick up kind of where we left off in discussing, like, what is effort first of all?
Yeah.
Because we kind of have to define it before we break it down. But where do we run into the end of where effort can take us on the spiritual path? And then what lies beyond effort, you know?
Well, one thing I would definitely tell the audience watching is, if you notice effort isn't working anymore, get excited. There's a frequency to a type of effort that we've been used to acclimating to that we are supposed to have. So I've noticed that a lot of people are like, I got to start my business. I got to get this thing going. I got to launch this thing. I got to keep this thing going. And I almost always hear a tone under it. And if I don't, there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And it almost always happens when I work with a client in a one-on-one situation where they're like, I got to get this going. I got to launch this. There's an underlying tone of, so that I'm not enough, so that I'm not a failure, so that I'm not unlovable. Like, I mean, all of these things are actually the driving force of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there was a time in our consciousness in the past where effort would be a step forward. Like if you lived as a totally lazy person, or as you had said, if you're coming out of a drug addiction, like actually getting off the couch and forcing yourself to do something can be an ascension in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the kind of people that watch our work are often people that had been in the self-help world and learned at one point an achieving type energy, mm-hmm. and now are noticing, why isn't it working as much as it maybe did 10, 20 years ago? And the reason in my eyes is that we are moving to a consciousness that's actually a higher, more powerful, more miraculous frequency that is asking us to surrender the us that has to do it so that we're not something, mm-hmm. right? And one way, by the way, that I help people do that is I have them become love for the pattern that's trying to force the effort. In other words, if they don't make this happen, then they're a failure to their father in 1976, right?
Yeah. Can you love yourself there?
Yes. And so I'll have them actually say, you're allowed to fail in my body. Like they'll become a space of love for the pattern and say, they're basically saying something the pattern has never once heard. Yeah. I love you even if you fail.
Yeah.
I love you even if you can't achieve. I love you even if you disappoint someone. I love you because what I believe is that our parents, which had an older consciousness, so they had more ego, right? Like there's a lot of unconscious ego in an older time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They raised these kids. And so the kids had to have a matching protective mechanism developed. And then we make the mistake of calling that me. So the dad says, you better not fail, or the mom maybe will shame you. Or if your dad walked out and you suddenly go, what's wrong with me to make dad walk out, even though that's not the right way to see it. Then you go, okay, I know when I get straight A's, then dad doesn't walk out. Or I know when, so this fake achiever comes in, right?
Yeah.
And so then we get identified as that, right? So now it like, I have to do it. And the underline is, so dad doesn't leave, so my parents don't divorce again, all these little things, right?
Yeah.
And the good news is we've moved to a consciousness now where it's trying to take all these patterns that are not the truth and remove them. And one way it'll do it is by letting you go for everything that you egoically think will be the answer to your life so that you're not enough. And then it lets those things collapse. Mm-hmm. And the amount of clients I have that are like, I keep trying to do this and it's not working. I keep starting this business, it's not working. I keep thinking this is the answer. These are all effort frequencies, but we're at a consciousness, I believe, that's higher. So some of us have been blown open to like a oneness frequency that's farther than that. And it's actually contracting them to use force and effort, and they can't bring their best selves to it. And I believe many things are collapsing right now, businesses, all kinds of things that are from a frequency of force because we're moving to a letting go surrender frequency now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so much more can happen through you. Like in other words, this talk wasn't planned, you know? And so we're allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
And whenever I go, okay, I'm going to do this to launch this event or whatever and have all this force, it never works.
Yeah.
So it's just like some bizarre surrender will happen and be like, I don't know. And then that day the video will go viral. And then all of a sudden the thing that I wanted sells out, but it wasn't even the way that I was, you know what I mean?
It's not unlike a good conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'm not sitting here listening to you, thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right.
I'm just, my heart is open. I'm receiving what you're saying. And in turn, something is ignited in me that just comes out spontaneously from inspiration. And it doesn't feel like I'm doing it. It's, I'm in the flow. I'm connected. Right. And so I kind of see actions in general as like, almost like having a point value, karmically speaking, let's say.
Mm.
So like what you're saying about, at one point effort worked, but it no longer works at a certain stage of spiritual development. We look at the Hawkins scale, which we both love so much.
Yeah.
And you have everything below 200 is the negative states, fear, shame, anger, et cetera. And courage is that dividing line. And from there, the points ascend up to 1,000. So like, you know, personal effort, personal doership, trying to make something of yourself, it's kind of a self-centered energy. But again, if you're coming from a really low point value, you've been living in shame, addiction, et cetera, then that's an upgrade for your consciousness. But it can only take you so far.
Yeah.
And I think the vast majority of people in both of our communities, anyone listening to this right now, has likely surpassed that threshold, right?
Yeah.
And they're at the point now where effort doesn't work anymore.
Yes.
And that's kind of the theme of... well, we're doing an event in June, Alex Theater in Glendale, a live event, which I'm super excited about.
I am too, man.
I've watched a lot of your events and just love the energy that you create in those containers. So I'm excited to be a part of that with you. But that's kind of one of the themes we're focusing on for the event is effort doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
At this stage of our collective evolution on the planet, effort is the empire. That's what it represents.
Yes.
It's the old world. It's the old model of, you know, the debt slave matrix of work a 9-to-5 job to hopefully pay your bills, save up some social security. And if all your efforts amount to something, you may have some retirement.
Yeah. And that's the end goal.
Yes. Just scrape by at the end of it, at the end of it all. And The reason it doesn't work is because the universe doesn't want it to work.
Right.
Because it's not supposed to work.
Yes.
We're supposed to be called to a higher frequency now. And that frequency, if I had to encapsulate it, is moving out of the doing zone of the Hawkins scale, let's say, and then crossing that threshold into the being zone. And the higher we move in consciousness, the more we operate from being rather than doing. And so, like, here's the caveat that most people will pick at and not understand when we talk about relinquish your efforts. Stop all this doing. Just be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I can't just be. I won't pay my bills. I won't feed my children.
Right.
So the nuance here is we're not saying nothing will happen.
Right.
We're saying your doing will come from your being, and doing and the actions you normally would take, your job, your family, all of these things will flow through you from a state of grace and effortlessness to where actually, you know, you and I have both experienced this now.
Yeah.
You can be much more dynamic in your life, much more efficient and effective in your life without the stress and the inner tension of, I've got to do it all. It's all on my shoulders.
Right.
And you become connected to the higher power, which is already doing everything in the universe. And you learn to live in that flow with it, right?
Well, and the really trippy thing is we never investigate that the ego's way also didn't work. So when people look at this and go, well, I got to pay the bills, I always go, well, is the overworking paying the bills? Like, you know, do we ever put the ego on trial? Like, why does moving into your soul always get
for
so,
sure.
That'd be great, but I got to pay the bills. It's like, well, we're here.
Yeah.
Because you've been in the egoic state and used a lot of force and are not connecting to what it wants to do through you, and you are getting evidence that it's not working now. I mean, anyone that's watching our content knows that working a ton hasn't been doing it. I mean, the amount of clients I've had that say, I'm working my butt off and I can't get the bills paid. I'm like, that's because you're working your butt off versus like picking up a higher frequency. I mean, if you have a radio that can only pick up AM stations, it's not going to do nearly as much as a radio that picks up XM, right? So no matter how hard the radio that picks up AM works, you know, it's not going to get anything more. It's we're upgrading to picking up better stations, to picking up high. There's much clearer that's just trying to happen. So letting go, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking, if I just do nothing, then I'm just going to sit forever, which would be like thinking, if I go to sleep tonight, I will never wake up again. But no, you'll be well rested and you'll be much more connected. And a lot of times when you let go, you'll feel the patterns of force and effort that panic. And they'll be like, well, if we don't do anything, we won't be anything, and I won't be loved, or we'll go broke, or the taxes will come, all these different things. But you can become present enough to notice that's a pattern. That's not you talking. And it can have a panic attack, and you can suddenly shift to being the space for that panic attack. And all of a sudden, the fear energy has to leave because you've become a space to actually hear it. And I find that once you hear the unconscious pattern, it always dissolves. Once you hear it and accept it, it's our constant resistance to what we are and what's trying to come up that keeps it acting up over and over and over again. So often the effort even kicks in that way. It goes, I'm going to make sure I never feel this again. So I'm going to kick in all these new plans. And it's, and the universe is like, I would like you to feel through that so that you can dissolve.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand is just being is actually more and more in this time, one of the most productive things you can do. Because once the pattern of effort falls out of your body and you just become the presence now, you can pick up million-dollar ideas you're not thinking
of. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
And you can also, if that effort energy's gone, you lose a lot of addiction energy. Like if you're all effort, you're gonna have a ton of coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be spending a lot of that money on whatever, hospital visits, alcohol, you know, all this energy dipping stuff. And more, if you make being your default setting, you'll notice that's actually also not expensive. Like the highest you could be you at a park now versus you going to the bar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you could pick up better ideas. You could create a higher impact. That's why I say, if effort's not working, get excited. You're at a consciousness. You might be over 500 on Hawkins scale, you know, and it's going, for you to create from a contracting energy, it's not going to work anymore.
So here's our first slogan then for this episode. Doing is expensive.
Yeah.
Being is free.
Being is free and pays.
And pays for itself.
Yeah. I mean, how many, here's an example we all know. How many ideas have you come up with in the shower or on a plane that doesn't have Wi-Fi?
Or between sleeping and waking at night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What is the factor there? You're not in any effort in those places.
Relaxation.
You are able to pick up more because there's no force.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of ideas that I've had in the shower, you know, just completely not tracking stuff. Not even thinking, what do I do about? There's no energy. I'm just being.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the next next insane video or book idea, all of these things show up.
Mm-hmm.
So the factor is allowing for the greatest you to come through.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're relaxed, you're open.
Yeah.
You're an open channel between this difference of being and doing. You know, if doing is expensive and being is free, then why would we not want to be in that state of being all the time, where actions happen by themselves, automatically, naturally. We don't have to dictate life anymore, but we're allowing life, we're allowing ourselves to be lived rather than do the living. To me, that's what it means to say, all my doing comes from being. It's like your state of being is determining your actions at every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Your state of being is cause, and doing is its effect.
Right.
But we often flip the two, right? And we think that if I can do enough, I'll earn a better state of being.
To start being. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be happier when I get more money, success, et cetera. And so we're trying to reverse the law of cause and effect, which is a violation of natural law. It's the opposite. It's that you have to get into a state of being that matches the kinds of actions you want to perform in the world. If you want abundant actions, then you have to get into an abundant state of being.
Yes.
You can't chase abundance in the world.
Right.
Effort and stress to hopefully start to feel abundant. I've tried that. I'm sure you've tried that.
Yes.
Many people listening have tried that. And it's the hamster wheel that keeps you stuck. And so instead, if you start to really tune into your state of being, first of all, when you slow down and you stop, you know, rushing through life at 100 miles an hour, then you stop missing all of the cues, you know, that life is trying to send you. And you start picking more things up, like you were saying. You get inspired ideas, you know, new perspectives on problems in your life start to come in. A groundedness, a peace of mind starts to come in, where you understand how to meet your challenges from a higher state of consciousness. And so from a higher state of being, you have access to better thoughts and actions that match that frequency. Like it does not matter how hard you try to feel loving or think loving thoughts. If you're in a panic state, those are not available to you in that state,
right?
Until you get out of that state. And then likewise, if you're in a very loving state, like a perfect example of this, an extreme example of this is like psychedelics, right? Perfect example. If you take a heavy dose of psilocybin mushrooms or even MDMA or something, your actions are going to change dramatically. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Without you thinking about changing them, you can't do anything about it, right?
Right.
To in the psychedelic state under a plant medicine, even the idea of performing actions as you normally would in a sober state is hilarious.
Right.
It's like a Herculean feat. It's impossible. Did you go brush your teeth or something? All you can do is lay on your couch and enjoy the visuals and maybe drink a glass of water at most, right?
Right.
Your state of being is not available for those actions at that moment.
Right.
And no matter how hard you try, you won't be able to do it, right?
Yes.
You can never overcome your current state of being through actions. It's a going within yourself that the alchemy begins to happen. And by requalifying your state of being, if it's in fear, if it's in anger, if it's in sadness, you can go within and say, there's room in me for sadness.
Yes.
There's room in me for fear. I love you. I forgive you. I welcome you. And that, just that alone is already a requalifying of your state of being, because you're making a space for love to come.
Yeah.
And therefore your state of being will start to become more loving.
And it's interesting too, how you said the emotions come out, like you can finally feel the sadness and you start to realize there's a lot of fear and sadness that's under that doer, right? And it's almost created to prevent those things from just being purged. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if that was just vomit, like you always need to vomit, but as long as you keep achieving something or chasing some dollar amount, you'll just stay a little nauseous always, but it's always there.
Yeah.
And then you could accidentally be identified as, like, in other words, you don't know it's there. You just are, if you don't do anything, it starts to come up and you go, oh, no, I'm going to go do something.
I feel better when I do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you accidentally think that's you. And then you have a society that's doing that too. And because of this lie, in other words, because we're not in alignment with universal law, but some kind of egoic made societal law, mm-hmm. that you are what you do, that you are what you achieve. Now you've got a world of people that are convincing you this is the way to go, yet you don't notice that most of them are completely unhappy. They're in relationships or jobs they don't want to be in. They're addicted to pills or some underlying thing. There's always drinking happening. Like the fact that, you know, I'm not trying to judge a specific thing, but the fact that like drinking is so prominent, like there's bars in every city.
Everywhere you go.
You know, but to just go to a park and like ask God to take away your pain is very few people are there, you know? Mm-hmm. However, I know that the people that do this work are doing that. And I feel like they need an audience too. Like, I think that one thing that we forget is that you can't help if you're accessing the butterfly side of you. And a lot of times people that are becoming really awake and conscious and doing the inner work very often feel like they're pushed out of things, family dynamics, different things. And they're almost at this, what's wrong with me? And I'm here to bring a voice to just so you know, you can't help what you know is true. You can't unsee what you've seen.
Yeah.
And it's so big that you know you're not alone in that, that it's normal. And where you might be feeling lost in a society that looks found, it's actually the opposite. Your lostness is actually you creating space to pick up something amazing and access the truth of what you are. And even though everyone else looks like they got their stuff together on their Instagram page or whatever, just know that you and I know we feel through stuff all the time. We know other speakers that have all kinds of their own thing that they're working through. And we're all on this planet to grow. And if you're feeling lost and pain right now, and like every way is not working, this is why I keep saying, get excited, because you're closer and closer to the actual reason I believe we're on the planet, mm-hmm. the learning of what you actually are. My number one intention on this planet is to know what I am, much more than what do I do. You know, if I say my intention is to sell 50 million books, it's mm-hmm. so much smaller than the frequency that I can emit just by being and connecting to the awareness and the embodiment of what I truly am. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if we're talking Hawkins scale, I'd rather hit 600 in a cave than be a 500 and have 40 million books out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And still, I will do still from a 600 or a 700, mm-hmm. but it will be guided doing. What people don't know is that there's a lot of guided doing. Those moments when you're just on the couch and you have an idea and it picks you up and it calls to you, you don't even notice the effort because the impact of what's new and how it would expand you is so exciting that you could spend all day on this thing and you wouldn't even call it stress or work. In other words, the doing that will happen once you access your being will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And there will still be action that takes over. There will be a joy and a freedom, but it's you without all these stuck sadnesses and this stuck energy, and it's you, actually you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love about my events and the live calls we do and everything is that I don't know what I'm going to do. This event we're going to do in June that I'm going to do with you, mm-hmm. you know, there might be some talking points and different things, but usually I do a 4, 5, 6 day thing with zero idea what I'm going to do, which to some people, if they're in a doer mode, sounds like a nightmare. But what I find is it writes itself and it becomes better than anything I could have come up with.
Yeah.
And it starts to talk, and then it brings up stuff. And then someone in the audience goes, I have a question. And then I can see from the frequency I'm at, the lie therein of the limitation that they're holding on to, or a belief system, so they can stay their dad's little girl, or, you know what I mean? And then we get that out. And one of the things that's so exciting about the event that you and I are going to do together, which we've never done a live event together, and I'm so excited. And if you are interested in this, we've made it 4 days. People are flying from all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's in Glendale, California. You and I are going to be working together, but you cannot be in that room and not ascend. In other words, your victim story, your stuckness, your effort, all those things will have to come out as you immerse yourself in 4 days or 5 days, if you do a VIP thing, of this content. You will be immersed and freeing yourself. And we watch people release and cry out stuff, let go of these things they didn't see was there, that you had to become to keep your parents liking you or not shaming you or not walking out on you or not hitting you.
Some of them do that too.
Yeah, so, any of that.
These days.
Yeah. This is getting rid of those things so that you can access this guided you. And one of the slogans I did for another thing that I do, the Angel You Forgot About, that the slogan on that I would also apply to this event is, stop holding up the world and start being held. The energy of the doer is often,
so good.
I got to do everything to hold up all these other people's opinions, to not disappoint these things. And caretakers are people that are always there for everyone else. Space holders, all these different things.
Yeah.
But there's a level where you think you're in service to others, but you're actually in service to self here, mm-hmm. where you're doing this so they aren't mad at you, so they don't leave you, so they don't judge you. But if you were to not do things based on that and based on what's trying to directly work with you, what God wants to do directly with you, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it, is trying to do with you, it's so much more powerful. It can bring in so much more abundance. It's so much more impactful, and it's true service to others once your cup's full, not when you're trying to hold up everything.
Yep.
So we got to shift from, stop holding up everyone else. You're getting your parents to understand you, getting people to not be mad, whatever, and start being held, where you stop working based on interacting with them and you go in and say, what do you want? And you let whatever needs to fall apart, fall apart. And you make room for what is trying to come through.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's there. And that's why everything's falling apart, because it's not the organic you anyway.
Yeah, one of the things I'm so excited to go deeper with you on at the big one in June is helping people get liberated from the tyranny of doership and the enslavement to personal effort that, you know, really we are entrained into that from kindergarten forward. In the Law of One, there's an interesting section where Ra talks about the 9-to-5 work week and says that they call it a form of enslavement,
mm-hmm.
because a human incarnation is meant for spiritual growth, personal growth, self-discovery, and work is part of that, no doubt. But like 8 to 9 hours, 10 hours a day, every day, now you're getting into the realm where you're infringing on your soul's ability to really grow in this lifetime because you're in survival mode. And of course, that's the way that the Matrix has built society, to where everybody's a cog in the system, except for those tiny handful of people that have learned the codes and hacks to get the billions of dollars and supersede it. Everyone else gets swallowed into that maelstrom.
Yeah.
And so we're trained from childhood, you know, we stick children in school 8 hours a day. It's like a mini work training or something.
Yeah.
It's like they're in school 8 hours a day, just like mom and dad are at an office cubicle 8 hours a day. And so we carry this doership into adulthood, into our spiritual journey, and it becomes one of, if not the hardest things to transcend
mm-hmm.
on the spiritual path, is to stop efforting your way through everything.
Yeah.
You want to find your purpose in life. You want to find your soul's destiny here. You better believe you're not going to find it by trying to find it.
Right.
You're going to find it by finding yourself. Like you said, I'd rather be a 600 in a cave than a 500.
Yeah.
You know, in society. It's like when you find yourself on that level, you better believe a monumental level of purpose is going to be birthed out of your soul.
Completely.
No doubt. It's because all doing comes from being.
Yeah.
They're inseparable from each other. But being is the cause while doing is the effect.
Right.
And we've reversed them in society, and we wonder why we're unhappy, why we're sick, diseased, overweight, miserable, 15 relationships, 3 marriages. It's because we've been trying to do everything.
Right.
And even just saying that, I can hear the kind of you know, cackles from people that are stuck in that thought system.
Yeah.
That, oh, we're supposed to not do and succeed. And it's like, you, the ego, yes, are not supposed to do anything, because all you, the ego, can do is get in the way of the divine plan.
Right.
Again, doing will come out of you all the more when you're in a balanced, self-loving, expanded state of being. Oh, you better believe you're going to be probably even more productive and dynamic.
Yeah.
But in all the right ways, right? Because now your actions can be harmonized with your inner state, so that your actions become abundant and loving and generous and expansive, which becomes a tractor field to you, where opportunities come in, new friendships come in, networking comes in without any effort on your part. Like, dude, I've lived this. I'm not just talking from a book I've read or something. I've lived this non-doership path for the last 5 to 6 years. It's been my sole focus on my spiritual path, is get my tiny intellect out of the way of God's plan.
Yes.
And just be my most expanded, aligned version of myself possible, and watch the magic happen.
Yeah.
And everything that's happened in my life, even your friendship is one symbol of it. I have more incredible friendships than I can possibly count.
Yeah.
I truly do. It's almost like a good problem, where I can't find enough time to hang out with all of these amazing people who I love. You know, you start to get into those really, really good problems of like, I have too much money. Where am I going to put it? What am I going to spend it on?
Yeah.
You know, that's where you can very quickly, you can get to a life like that, if you're willing to surrender your puny ego's belief that it's in control of life and it knows better what it should do. This is the third density catalyst. In this earth plane realm, we are here, our soul is here to transcend ego consciousness and rise from that solar plexus ego center to the heart center, into heart-based consciousness, live from the heart, live from that expanded state. And so, you know, we're gonna hopefully have a lot of really kind of hands-on and expanding, not just lessons, but practices and experiences for everybody at the event. Because this is one of those things, like, you've got to hammer it from 10 different directions, because it's, again, it's programmed in us so deeply that to pull those plugs out, you know, we got to approach it from a lot of different angles, right?
Yeah. Well, and another way I often see it is, we have basically normalized carrying like 1,000 suitcases that are not ours, right? Whether it's your ancestry, whether it's your parents' pain, whether it's the society you're in, whether it's all the advertisements, whatever it is. We've now normalized, like, I just carry everyone else's suitcase, the suitcase of what will they think of me, the suitcase of my dad wouldn't approve of this, the suitcase of, yeah, but I got to make money. Mm-hmm. These all have an energetic density that's heavy.
Big time.
And when people go, I'm just going to be and do nothing, they're still picturing that the suitcases will be there. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, they're looking through the lens of 1,000 suitcases that in a week from now, you just being will be in the suitcases still. Mm-hmm. But I've many times been at enough retreats or gone inward or meditated 2 hours a day to get to a point of just watching and identifying how many suitcases that I've been holding that are not mine. Mm-hmm. And in the allowing, this is an actual tangible power of being. Being can see so much more than doing can see. And once being sees it, it causes the suitcase to fall out. And it causes you to understand that core trauma wounds from childhood actually are what are grabbing the suitcases, right? Like, I don't want to feel shamed again, so I get more suitcases, right? Okay, I know that by achieving or by looking a certain way or, you know, wearing certain clothes or presenting something, then I won't get hurt. So everything is, don't let this trauma get seen. But when you're being, it starts to see everything and it goes, oh, I see the lie that thinks I need to hold these suitcases. Yeah. And so if I could just keep being, I'm going to get to the root of it. And that wound that felt unloved at 5 will for the first time feel loved and go. And I believe another reason we're on this planet is to learn love. And can you learn love for the shame or the guilt or the fear in your body or the fear of failing or all these other things? And so we're here not just only to learn love in a way we've all felt, think positive, but it also has this implication that the things in your body that you perceive as negative don't get any time of day. Mm-hmm. But an even deeper positive in my eyes is the now that goes, I'm here for the love of the positive energy that might have even been created to bury the negative, mm-hmm. and for the negative that's here too. The, am I not enough? I feel unloved. I feel unseen. I feel, you know, and I'm really big on just sitting there for the pattern that feels unloved. And then it often for me becomes tears and leaves. And then very often some new idea or some magical phone call or some, it's almost like there's new space, because if you really see law of attraction actually working, it's going to match the frequency you are, not what you do out of a bunch of buried pain. Mm-hmm. Right. In fact, in the more that you're in a frequency of I gotta achieve something and then I'll be something, mm-hmm. you're implying I'm not. And you, that will always be what you're going to manifest and put out.
Yeah.
So no matter how much straining you have, if it's because when I achieve this thing, I'll be something, you're really putting out over and over and over, I'm not enough. I am broke. I am not loved. I am a failure.
Yeah.
And these are my fixes to that. But the fix is, the fix and the circumstance is more your God than the now. Or then you, or then God.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're sitting here going, this fix will make me something. And I've achieved enough things through that frequency to go, you're not happy right after. Mm-hmm. Like when you go, the answer, I got number one. I had a New York Times bestseller and I was depressed all day right when I got it, because I was just like, that's it.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's, you know, I think you did a video once years ago that I thought was so brilliant. And it was like, you do get to achieve what you want so you can eventually learn it's not the end all. Mm-hmm. It's not your way to happiness.
Yeah.
Right. So you get to hear us and think that's bogus and then go through all the experience you need to prove to yourself so you understand it, not just through our saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want, you're welcome to go and achieve the thing you think will make you something. And then notice if it collapses, notice if it doesn't hit what you thought it would, you know, because mm-hmm. eventually your true realization of yourself is going to be the main place of fulfillment, your true understanding of what you are. And the byproduct from there is miraculous. What you will bring into your life is so miraculous, but won't even feel that exciting because your connection to you is so much more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But you're putting out how whole you are as a frequency. You're putting out how loved you are. What kind of relationship would match you knowing how loved you are? You knowing you're abundant, what kind of money would match you understanding? You know, every dollar you've ever made came from you. Mm-hmm. I always tell people watching, why do we get excited about money? Every dollar you've ever made came from you.
Mm-hmm.
So get excited about you.
Yeah.
Right? Like this space that comes up with the ideas or creates the action or whatever is so much more amazing than money. But we sit here and stare at money and not the source of every dollar you've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And if you change your focus to now, this space, this field, you'll be shocked at how much more abundance can come in to match the abundance that you're connecting to.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the now factor in this conversation, because the now is where being lives.
Right.
And one of the things I love teaching about the most is this idea of catalyst integration, that your life is trying to show you all the upgrades you need. It's bringing you all the experiences you need to see your blind spots, to see your limiting beliefs, to see where you're holding yourself back. But if you're in doership, again, you're in that diamond lane going 100 miles an hour, you're just missing all those cues. And so it's like, you know, we've all seen the Star Wars, the light speed
mm-hmm.
scene, right? Where all the lights of the universe go flashing by. It's like ego wants to get you doing that in life so that everything's just a blur.
Right.
And you can't see anything.
Right.
And so you get this this habit of thinking that even in spiritual growth, we see this all the time, right? And we're all guilty of this. I got to do more. I got to do more. I got to do more to grow.
Right.
And we're in this rush to grow. But that's the irony and the paradox, is that in spiritual growth, slower is faster.
Yes.
And faster is slower. You know, the more you try, the slower you go. It's like being in quicksand or something.
Yeah.
So like your life is already bringing you everything you need, but you can only see it and access it from that state of being. mm-hmm. not being in a rush, but being really present. And from that state of presence, life starts living you. Like yes. you feel a greater power acting through you.
Yeah.
It truly doesn't feel like there's a person doing everything. You start paying attention to the little synchronicities, the ways you're guided, even down to like dropping the spoon in the kitchen. And you just ask like, why did I do that?
Mm.
And for me, like, I'll just get these little messages of like, oh, just life kind of letting me know you're going a little too fast, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, just slow down a little bit. And when you can start picking up those subtle messages, you know you've arrived at a true state of presence and a state of being where, again, now your actions become very, very aligned.
Yeah.
Because the ego's actions are always out of alignment, right?
Yeah.
Always is looking service to self, not service to others.
Right.
It's always looking inward and never outward. And so it misses everything life is doing, and it's only looking to self-serve all of its selfish purposes and motives and the outcomes that it wants. So it's like you cannot be aligned from the state of doership. But when we're talking about non-doership, it's confusing to people because people associate the word doing with action or accomplishment.
Right.
And that's not what we're saying, right? We're not saying don't accomplish anything in life. Try not to be successful is what people hear.
Right.
You know, don't be the doer, AKA don't try to be successful. Don't try to pay your bills. And, you know, we stress this. We have to stress this over and over because that's the rebuttal that ego will keep putting in people's ears as they listen to this conversation. So I'm very excited to expand into this conversation more yeah. with you, especially in June at our event. And I know you mentioned that you're going to be providing our followers with a 10% discount code. Is that correct?
Yes. So the tickets inevitably will be $599. Right now they're $349. Now this is for a 4-day event, and then we're going to offer them 10% off if they type in Aaron Abke. So now you're getting tickets for half off. And one of the things that I want to offer people is that a thing that changed my life so dramatically is whenever you're about to do something, the only reason you stress is your mind can measure what you will lose and it can't see what you will gain. And when people are like, should I do this? The only focus is on, well, I'll be paying money and I'll need a babysitter and I'll have to get a flight or something. If you're not in California, it'll be in Glendale, California. But what you're never taking in is all the awakenings that you're going to have at this event.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to the end of day one, you'll go, oh my God, I'm so happy I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, and what I've noticed also is that our events, when we get to day two, it's always 10 times better than day one. The reason, and then day three is 10 times better than day two. The yeah. reason is because we're immersing ourselves. If you come to this event, you're immersing yourself and you're not doing it with your phone open and kind of half connected to the 3D world and mm-hmm. flipping through Facebook and stuff like that. You're in a room full of people who are here to actually face and have the courage at 200 to have the courage to say yes to the truer you and start to actually have the courage, because empaths have a hard time with this word, say no to everything that doesn't align with you.
Mm-hmm.
Empaths are big at being there for everyone else, so they often say yes when they mean no. And this is why very often empaths end up in relationships with narcissists or people, that's the polarity to the big people pleaser that they can become.
Mm-hmm.
But in coming to this event, you will suddenly feel heard and you will hear aspects of you that maybe you couldn't hear through your doer. And in hearing that, you will move up in ascension. And we have had so many of these giant events. And when people ascend to a higher frequency, it's not even painful or hard to make major decisions that are different.
Yeah.
Whether it's moving, whether it's getting out of a relationship that doesn't work, whether it's moving, saying yes to one that does, seeing all the people that were available that you probably overlooked because your ego's trying to fix it with the people that don't align.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of these things are there. And also, I was a stand-up comic for 20 years. So it's also going to be really fun and funny.
Mm-hmm.
The event is going to be me and you and Kim DeRamo.
Kim.
Dr. Kim DeRamo, who's going to bring a total, you know, holistic medicinal perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
And the three of us are going to show up and allow what wants to come through. But I've done so many events and I know how flow works. And mm-hmm. if anyone watching this feels 1% open or inspired or excited, wait till you immerse yourself at this 4-day thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have two things. We have come join us at this 4-day event with Aaron Abke and Kim DeRamo and I at $349. But if you type in Aaron Abke, you get 10% off of that. We also have, and we have very few of these left, but there are VIP seats that are the front two rows. Mm-hmm. So you can watch the whole thing from the front row or the second row. And then also there's a fifth day that's just for the VIPs with me, you, and Kim. So it's just like 40, 45 people in a small room.
Yeah, I love those.
Working with us and asking questions and meeting us and all that stuff. And it will be an immersion that you will never be able to unsee. Mm-hmm. And remember this, it's actually my friend Diego said it to me once. You can always measure what you will lose. You can't see what you'll gain. This has been what changed my life with every decision I made. I left stand-up comedy at the height of my comedy career because I felt something higher was happening. And usually the ego goes, I need to see the evidence of what I will get first. Mm-hmm. And I just know what the expansive feeling means without knowing any specifics, that I have to follow it.
Yeah.
It's the opening. I'll tell you, this event will be the opening to a new life. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Big One. And one is emphasized as like oneness, because I always think of the, you know, you said the ego needs to do these things. It needs to do those things because it'll die if you move into the truth of what you are.
Self alive through doing.
Yeah. And you'll start to realize, oh my God, I've identified I as an egoic construct that has achieved or was a victim or is the past story. Mm-hmm. And we are moving so fast now that timelines change and you're not your past story. And I always think of like timelines as a linear thing, but we're now on an elevator. So you're looking down a floor, like maybe that's the answer, but the next day the elevator is on a new floor. Mm-hmm. So now you got to get used to the elevator and not looking at floors as the answer and letting it pick you up and letting it let you release everything that's not you.
Yeah.
And this event is going to be, people will go up on stage, work with us, heal all the stuff. They will be doing exercises that we do, guided meditations, talks. There's so many different things at this thing. And it's not even $100 a day. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be just so massive.
Dude, I can't wait. I'm so charged up for this. Again, I've watched a lot of your events and they just look like such a fun and electric container. And I'm also very grateful for the opportunity to do an event with you, because we just closed the doors to our 4-day retreat here in Austin.
Oh, awesome.
And you know, that's hotel, lodging, food included, the whole package. So it's a higher ticket item.
Yeah.
We only had like 75 spots available. So for everybody who missed out on the retreat, you can come see me and hang out with me in Glendale for a fifth of the cost and five full days. So it's just a lot of value packed into a super affordable, you know, price tag that I think a lot of people will get really excited about. And so what I'm really excited about, again, is for us to really, you know, get at the heart of this. I call it the third belief of ego. Mm-hmm. It is the most challenging of the three beliefs of the ego to overcome, as I mentioned before, that the belief is all my value depends on what I do. You know, that's the belief we all suffer from to varying degrees. Myself, I still find myself feeling stressed throughout my workday.
Yeah.
I didn't do those emails or something. I have to constantly check in to like, where is this stress really coming from? It's this underlying belief that my efforts make me worthy. My value depends on what I do.
Right.
And so because it's been such a breakthrough for me, I'm really excited to channel and download that breakthrough for the audience at this event. There's no subject I'm more lit up about right now. So it's just coming at the perfect time. So you mentioned we have the VIP.
Yes.
There's 45 spots total, I think 20 left.
20 left, 25 are already sold.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll put the link to the VIP tickets in the description below, and then the regular tickets as well.
Yes.
With the discount code. And please guys, I would love for you to come to this event, connect with us and connect to this conversation, this frequency on a deeper level, because as we said, the earth is going through this transition right now where effort doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Effort's the old world that's now collapsing. And even in your own spiritual, your personal spiritual journey, effort doesn't work anymore either. because we've transcended that period of our growth.
Yeah.
And so I'm ready for the new thing, man. I'm ready to download it with you and to transmit that frequency to a lot of amazing people in June.
I'll tell the audience this too, if you're watching. There have been so many relationships and babies that have formed from these events, that people would go to these events. They meet people there. Mm-hmm. You're finding like-minded people that you can connect with. I know people that got a ton of work at events. You know, they start moving from a... One thing I love about working with you is I know we both move from a very collaborative... There's enough for everyone. I'm so about promoting you. Mm-hmm. And I remember once when I was young hearing Tony Robbins interview Deepak and feeling like, oh my God, I want to feel that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm all about massive support of you, and I know you are of me, and we're just like in this over the top thing. We want to leave the old idea of scarcity and competition. And, you know, being in this massive collaboration with you is exciting, but also just know that I find in the audience, the amount of people that end up switching cards and getting crazy tons of work because everyone's in this over the flow.
New state of being
of giving, mm-hmm. that people come back from these things with major, major career changes, major life changes. Now, I'm not saying that might not be the thing you want to work on. It could just be like, get the anxiety out or get the fear out. Like, the root of these things often are the identification with the ego. And so there's so many different things that just allowing and listening, a big theme will be allowing. You know, I'm worried no one will like me. I allow that. I'm worried that it won't go well. I'm worried that I'm not getting enough out of this. And then you allow that. And watch these patterns that always have to get the most out of it or have to make it work perfect. And all these fear patterns that you don't realize are there,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. And doing it with you will be so awesome.
Yeah.
Kim DeRamo too, two of my favorite people ever. So
yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that so much. That idea of just the allowing, you know, every limiting belief we hold carries with it something the ego wants us to do to alleviate that fear of that belief. What if they don't like me? Ego's like, what are you gonna do about it? Make yourself more likable.
Yeah.
And then the doing comes from that fear behind the belief. And so, you know, we're doing some exercises like this at my retreat as well, and for sure at the big one, of like, what if you didn't do anything about that belief?
Yeah.
What if you just allowed a space for that belief and welcomed it and did nothing about it? Then what might happen?
Yeah. Do you think it won't pass?
Exactly.
You know, I always use this analogy. I do what I can to treat my own inner child like it's my actual daughter. I have a 6-year-old daughter, Vivi.
Yeah.
Now, if Vivi came up to me and said, nobody likes me, I feel like nobody likes me, wouldn't it be weird if I was like, well, let's go fix that.
Don't
and ran out of the room and like put makeup on and dance in front of the neighbors. Like, let's get them to like you.
Yep.
How crazy would that be? But that is how we, like, I don't know that they'll like me. I'm going to put on a show or look as good as possible or impress them or sell myself. But Vivi really would need me to just hear her and hold her and hug her and say, I hear you, that you feel that. I love you. I'm right here. And our own inner child is the same thing.
So simple, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going, what if no one likes me? It's like, I hear you, versus us. Well, I'll start the business to fix that, or I'll get everyone convinced how great I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's in unconscious form of abuse on ourselves to like
100%.
Keep more force going versus hear that. So mm-hmm. one thing that'll be happening at the event will be a collective conscious water level rising. So inner children can be seen enough that the traumas can be released at the mm-hmm. event. We see people in tears all over the place at our mm-hmm. events, but they love it because they're releasing, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's a sign of a good event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fun. Join us in June 20th through the 23rd or 24th, if you get the VIP tickets in Glendale, California. It's going to be so awesome. Yeah.
Well, Kyle, man, what an amazing conversation. I love you so much.
I love you too, man.
I'm so grateful for your friendship and for the invitation to join you at your event in June. I cannot wait. And I know you got to fly back home tomorrow morning early. So I appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you too, man. This is awesome. Congrats on everything going on in your life, dude.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
And I appreciate all of you as well. Thank you for tuning into this conversation. Would love to see you in June, but either way, so much love to you all. Be blessed, and we'll see you next time.